Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Klink.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Scott Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's a Need to Know podcast. All thanks to the CIA Ops patron community. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, N2K Podcast, and online at ciaops.podbean.com.
Welcome along to a Need to Know podcast. We've got the hand sanitizer out and we've made sure that we're all clean and tidy. And we've also brought in a fully sanitized Brenton Johnson. Welcome along, Brenton.
Oh, good to be back, Robert.
It is sad that we are in some unprecedented times at the moment. We take this opportunity to hope everybody is safe, staying safe, doing the right thing, and this incident or situation won't last too much longer. Unfortunately, it would seem it's going to be at least 6 months, but fingers crossed that it won't be. Hopefully, it's not affecting people too badly and get on with remote stuff. I know I can. How are you and your customers finding it, Brenton?
Oh, everyone just sort of fell into the swing of things. People are panicked and having all these problems and whatever, but all my customers just went back to their normal way of working, of using Teams, and, you know, they're asking a few questions around video conferencing. They may not do a lot of that beforehand, but now they're doing a lot more of that. It's just all been business as usual for most people. I think the challenge for most people is trying to figure out how to be productive at home. For my customers, they're sort of a month ahead of the panic that everyone's trying to VPN back into head office, and they don't have bandwidth, and IT doesn't know what to do, and they're having sleepless nights. And I've basically gone beyond corp with all my customers, or should I say zero trust with all my customers years ago. So it's not really a problem I have to deal with, thankfully.
Well, again, I think it's obviously going to be a major shift. It's going to change the way a lot of people who haven't worked this way before. I think it's going to accelerate this move to the cloud. It's going to expose those who were hesitant and perhaps aren't skilled enough in the cloud. So there are some big changes even at the end of all this. I think it is going to be one of these seismic changes in humanity probably. Again, it is something that seems to be affecting the whole planet. We're not through it yet. And I think once we finish that, we do have an economic situation to deal with as well. That's going to be a consequence of the shutdown. But since Brenton and I are skilled operators and Brenton's still making noise in the background, even though he's in a podcast, you'd think he'd know by now, that we will bring you the best news. We'll keep it light. We'll keep it focused on some information for you. And we'll bring you an interview as well, which I think is relevant for the time. So I'm going to kick it off and let people know that the large Microsoft Inspire conference, which is their worldwide partner conference, has been cancelled. We'll just see whether they go virtual. The MVP summit that I was scheduled to attend and probably would have been to a couple of weeks ago, again, was cancelled, and they ran it virtually. They ran it very successfully. They threw it together very quickly. My interest will be to see whether we get Ignite, which is the big technical conference, cancelled. My bet would be on yes, because they're already streaming. They're already doing a lot of that remotely. We will see. But basically, all the meetings, all anything to do with the community is going online, and that is forcing a lot of people to get up to speed with it quickly. But I think Microsoft has these skills already and the products. So let's see how we go with that. But what else have you seen out there that's cancelled or shifting to virtual meetings online there, Brenton?
Oh, you know, like I've got a client that does all the videos for events and all the AV for events and stuff. And, you know, everything's cancelled for them for the foreseeable future. So I think everything's going to be shifted online. I think one of the big challenges is it takes 12 to 18 months to organize a big conference. Most people are planning their conference the second that their conference ends, is planning the one for 2 or 3 years down the track. So I don't think it's going to be as simple as, all right, everything's back on again. But, you know, the way that we're talking about this this pandemic, if we can get on top of it, we can have it all over and done with in 6 weeks if people can stick to the rules. But it'll just be a case of how compliant people are. I did find a good, I thought I'd share this one just for you, Robert. It's a Power BI from the Victorian government. And it shows a little bit about how the cases are progressing and where they're from and what government area and all of that sort of stuff. All done in Power BI.
That's a good little thing. I did come across that as well. So we'll share that, make sure that's in the show notes for people. I've got one that I found across on GitHub that I recommend. That's really good as well for regular updates. And hopefully, again, it all starts dropping off. But shows you what's achievable with the tools. And this is obviously something that's been made public as well. So you can do that with Power BI. So if you remember that Power BI has a free tier and is able to push out information like this freely as well, that's pretty darn impressive. So another reason, I think, to look at the Microsoft Cloud for a lot of your solutions. The other thing that we should mention here, too, is that Microsoft is giving people the option for some free or trial licenses to start using things like Teams and SharePoint and OneDrive work in the cloud. And we'll make sure the links for those are in the show notes. There is an E1 trial license, I think it's 6 months, that people can spin up E1, Enterprise E1 to start using that. And there's also what's called a Teams Exploratory license, which again gives you roughly about 6 months, I believe, to spin up and get experience with that. So if you have customers that are looking at and maybe it hasn't, maybe their cash flow is being impacted, these are two options that they can take up from Microsoft. I know a lot of other providers are doing something similar around the services that they offer. So again, keep an eye out for what's available. We'll make sure these ones from Microsoft are in the show notes for you to take advantage of. Now, one of the other things that I saw that was interesting is Microsoft has announced some new first-line worker licenses. So we used to have just basically F1, which was the standard license, but now we basically have a F3, an F1, and also we have an Office 365 F3. So we have Microsoft 365 F1, Microsoft 365 F3, and Office 365 F3. So I don't know if more SKUs are a good idea here. There are a number of different options available to each, with the F3 being the more powerful and the Office 365 being the cheap and cheerful option, I suppose. But obviously there must be demand for it, and people are requiring this for their frontline workers to obviously give them the tools they need to get their job done with the minimal cost. We'll make sure a link is in the show notes so you can review that, see if any of that may be of relevance to you. What's your thoughts? Do you sell any frontline licenses out there, Brenton?
Yeah, actually the frontline licenses are really good because it gives you enterprise mobile device management for your frontline workers. So you might want to use Intune to manage a device rather than the Office 365 run-of-the-mill MDM. The field worker may not need Office, which means they don't really need a Microsoft 365 business. So a Microsoft 365 F1, I don't know what the price of it is. It's certainly a lot less than a full business premium or a business Microsoft 365 business. Gives you that mobile device management on the device. It gives them access to Teams. It gives them a bit of SharePoint and a mailbox and everything that they need. They get Azure Active Directory P1, which is pretty cool. And yeah, they're basically
just quickly to give you the prices. The Microsoft 365 is in US dollars. Microsoft F1 will be $4 per user per month. The F3 will be $10, which has obviously more function and features. And the Office 365, again, will be $4 per user per month. So that's the Office 365 F3. So the prices are there. And I think, like you said, the $4 one is probably a great start out for, you know, a lot of people who really don't need that, you know, that desktop-bound license. So, sorry about that. What else were you
just looking at the differences, you know, between the Frontline 1 and Frontline 3, the F1 and the F3. F3 comes with Windows 10 E3 and virtual desktop rights, which I think that's probably a bit of a nod to Windows virtual desktop perhaps being more of a thing. With some of these portable devices, a lot of frontline workers are on terminals, they're on tablets. You know, they're replacing, organizations are replacing their written logbooks with digital ones. They're using iPad apps, but I think Microsoft's seeing a larger vision here, that the frontline worker's not going to just be using some simple app, that they'll actually need more powerful tools. And this really enables all of that and gives organizations a surety around a direction if they want to go down that path of building out a Dynamics environment. They can use Windows Virtual Desktop in the cloud. They can connect their tablets to it. 5G around the corner gives them pretty good connectivity. There's really no reason why frontline workers should be second-class citizens anymore.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and I think Microsoft obviously has done its research and it's targeting these at markets. I especially like, again, the really, really cheap option, the complete mobile worker, I suppose, without some of the other heavy need of services, but the F3 with more functionality and those other additional licenses, I think is a good move. So we'll make sure the details are in the show notes to have a look at. Also, on the grapevine, I hear from people at Microsoft that their Windows Virtual Desktop is in great demand. More and more, especially larger companies, are using the VDI environment to spin up as a replacement as they've made users go and work remotely. So the Windows Virtual Desktop is, again, a really, really big thing, especially in the enterprise. So if you haven't had a look at that, go in. Again, and spend a little time learning about what that is. Now, one of the other things I think that was really interesting was that Microsoft Teams has reached its third anniversary. I read an article that says, I think they're up to over 44 million active users per day. I'm sure that's much, much more as each day progresses. And the blog post here that we'll link will have a number of new features that are coming to it. We have the background blur on iOS, so young Brenton can join us on these podcasts with a black background blur from wherever he is. Interesting that's coming to iOS. I'm sure it'll be not far off from Android as well. I also like the there's an interesting demo about basically a Teams connected camera that people have mounted on a helmet. And I think the other one, which I don't know if it's going to work or if it's cool or whatever, but I like the push-to-talk walkie-talkie. So basically, you'll have a phone where you can basically push that and use it like a walkie-talkie on a common channel. The advantage of that is if you're in, for example, a data center or somewhere and you need to, you know, communicate with someone, you can do so with Teams, but you no longer have the limit of the radio frequency distance. So again, some really cool stuff coming out in Teams. There's more and more coming every day. 3 years is not much for a product that's beginning to really dominate its market, isn't it, Brenton?
Well, it's unbelievable. Like, Slack invented the category. Microsoft went to Slack and said, oh, we'd like to buy you. They said some stupid amount of money. Microsoft said, no, we can build it cheaper than that, and the amount of integration is going to be too hard. 18 months later, they come out with Teams. And people were like, oh, wow, this is so close to everything we need already. And over the last 3 years, it's certainly got better and better. And, you know, just these sort of specific use case stuff that they're building into it. I really like that sort of central place for work where everyone can go to the same place in Office 365 and do work together, bringing people out of Outlook and bringing them into Teams from an Outlook, which is a primarily an individual-based thing, to a Teams, which is a collaborative. I just really like how hard this is being pushed by Microsoft. And now that all of this stuff is happening around the background, I think there's a lot of businesses that are a lot better off because of that push and because of the push of the partners out there going out, talking about it, getting people comfortable with it, getting people familiar with new ways of working. That walkie-talkie is a great, great use case, again, in the sense that, radio frequencies aren't encrypted. If you have a police scanner, you can listen to all of that. So having something that, is reliant on something other than distance and hear over the waves is much better. So I really like it. I want to keep seeing the development of the product, and I think the biggest challenge for it's going to be keeping that simplicity and that ease of use while they continue to add all these features in.
I can assure you there's lots and lots of really cool features coming in the short term, and think about how many team servers there must be running now in Microsoft data centers and how much they've had to spin up to reach demand with children working from home, using Teams for teaching and education, and now all these employees working with Teams as well. It's pretty impressive when you think about it for this, you know, this load that's come on in such a short period of time to basically be able to accommodate that and more so going forward. So again, have a look at this blog post, really interesting stuff which is coming with Teams and lots of features in there. I think that you'd be really excited about. Now, one of the other things that I will mention in here is the Microsoft 365 Business Voice will be available in the US from the 1st of April. So the Voice is basically a package of the Cloud PBX, the PSTN calling license, plus a calling plan from Microsoft. So this is bundled together and will be available in the US. It's already available in the UK and Canada. We are seeing some licensing availability now in Australia. We won't have this voice plan for a little while, but there are some licensing that will allow you to incorporate third-party providers in Microsoft 365 Business. So we can see the march towards a fully integrated Teams with Microsoft 365 Business, which is really exciting. I think this is going to be a huge thing in the SMB. It's another great opportunity for partners to jump on and use to be able to spin up a complete phone system from Microsoft without the need to basically provision anything special. Just add a license and everybody uses Teams as their front end. So this is going to be pretty darn impressive, I think, when it's coming out. Now, the other one to keep us moving along here is that Windows 10 has finally reached 1 billion monthly active users. Takes them a little while longer than they expected, but 1 billion is still a pretty impressive number, isn't it, Brendan?
You know, it doesn't, it blows your mind. Like, you can't understand the scale of a billion until you think about it in terms of, I probably need to Google this, but it's something like a million is, if you count 1 second at a time, you know, when you count a million, it's like 17 minutes or something, or whatever, 17 days. And if you count to a billion, it's 34 years. So it's a huge amount of people. You cannot humanly get your brain around it very easily.
I've noticed also too that in the current situation, Microsoft has also said that it's going to delay pushing out feature updates and only going to push security updates, obviously, to limit bandwidth for people in the background as well. So you'll be still be getting those security updates, but the feature updates, obviously, hopefully when things calm down a bit, we'll be able to get those flowing through as well. But still, a billion is a very, very impressive number. All right, what other things have you got up your sleeve that we can talk about before we dive into our interview?
So I've been undergoing some Intune training via YouTube. With an Australian guy and an American guy, and it's really, really good, really valuable information in there, you know, little tips and tricks, war stories in there.
How much time are you to invest? I mean, you know, is it, you know...
The videos are around 40 minutes average, I suppose. You know, one's an hour and a half, you know, those sorts of things is 2 hour one. But they just go through each of the areas. So, you know, like I was doing iOS with the Apple configurator the other day, and we're having some problems with it. So went back and watched that video and realized you'd upload the serial numbers into Intune before you can enroll it with Apple configurator. So I had already done this before, but for whatever reason I forgot that step. So, you know, just best practices, they got one on the known file move there, and so I've probably sunk, I don't know, let's have a look on YouTube now, I've sunk quite a few hours into getting through most of the videos now. And it's all that other stuff that's not necessarily in the docs, like, oh, this is how we do this, and we still have to run PowerShell for that, and you have to apply this to users, not devices, or vice versa, or it doesn't work, and, you know, you got to have the right E3 license, Windows E3 license for this, and all of those sorts of things. So I might actually try and reach out to these guys and try and get one of them on the podcast, probably Steve Hosking. Do you know Steve Hosking?
I know Steve Hosking. Yeah, I know him well. Works for Vigilant IT. Yep, know him well.
Yeah, so he's the guy doing it all. And Adam Gross from Texas, I believe.
Okay, cool. Yeah, well, if you can do that, you want to do that. Otherwise, I can certainly reach out to him on behalf of the podcast and get him to come on and talk about it. So that's good. Good to know. Yes, I do. I'll have a look at that stuff that Steve's done. But, yeah, if he's done it, highly recommend that you invest the time and have a look at it. Now, what about this last link that we've got here that you put up about the Microsoft VPN? What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, quite interesting, actually. So this came across my LinkedIn feed. I follow all the Microsoft people on LinkedIn, and they're talking about trying to run Microsoft on VPN, because even though Microsoft's a very cloud-transformed company, like most enterprise, if not all enterprise companies, they have a lot of on-premises resources that they can't, that they need to access via a VPN. Now, when you have 150,000 employees or whatever, you know, trying to manage 150,000 people connecting to a VPN can be really tricky. They talk about how they did it. They said at this time, there's probably 50 to 60,000 people on their VPN at any one time. They're saying one of the keys of their success was they worked with the Windows team and fixed up the internal VPN client in Windows, so it ran better. And they also do split tunneling. So anything that's Office 365 or cloud or whatever, that all gets sent off through the internet. And then they only send the absolute critical, the VPN only stuff over the VPN. They said if they didn't have that implemented 3 years ago when this whole thing hit, they would just not have been ready for it. And it would have been a different story. But because they've invested in their infrastructure, you know, they talk about how they use, I think, OpenVPN protocols and that to keep it all happening. It's just a really fascinating read. So definitely get you to check it out if you're particularly interested in how to do VPN at 60,000 users.
Well, again, there's a lot to be learned from these sort of things. So, again, we'll put the link in the show notes so that you can review that. A lot of information there. We don't want to overload people. We know that they've got a lot on their plate generally, and they're making adjustments and working from home, and that can take a bit of time. So we want to get that information to you. We wish everybody the best. We hope that, again, you're safe, you stay safe, and that we aren't subject to these conditions for too much longer. We will continue to give our best effort to get more information to you and interviews. Hopefully people are available now rather than traveling all over the place. You can stay in contact with us here at N2K Podcast on Twitter and Facebook, feedback at needtoknow.cloud on the emails, and I am at contact. I'm at Director CIA. What about yourself, Brenton? What are you?
At contact Brenton on the Twitter sphere. If you're coming to my office, I'm not there. It's best to get me via digital means.
Excellent. All right. Well, like I said, I will take this opportunity to thank you again for listening to the podcast. We hope you're all safe. Remember that if you do have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. I'm sure that we can answer. Also, we understand in this environment, people do suffer from being separated from their normal work environment. So again, if you do feel that you want to just reach out to us for a chat, by all means, feel free to do that. I'm certainly open to do that. So any of those contact details, and we'll reach out and we can run something to have a bit of a chat and, again, hopefully give everybody the solace that they need at this point in time. So I think that's all from me before we get into our interview. What about yourself, Brenton? Anything else?
No, just echo your thoughts completely.
All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. And let's get into our interview for this episode. Welcome along to this interview. And I'm joined by Tim O'Neill from Ticker Data. Welcome along, Tim.
Hi, Robert. Thanks very much.
Well, for those listening, we do have a bit of a unique situation. Tim is probably a little bit different from most people we've interviewed. He's not into the technical deep dive side of it. He's not actually selling a product. He's a distributor. So a bit of a unique view on the market out there. So before we launch into that, Tim, why don't you just give people a bit of an intro, who you are and what role you fill?
Yeah, sure. So I work for a distributor in Australia called Dicker Data. We proudly are the largest Australian-owned distributor in Australia. And my role is I lead the CSP program, but also more specifically lead the Modern Workplace program here in Australia for Dicker Data.
So why don't we start there with the concept of the modern workplace? So what do you see is the transformation or the need for the modern workplace in the workplace out there today? What's the messaging? What's the reason that, you know, this is something that Microsoft's taking to market?
I think the first thing we need to do is really kill that myth that modern workplace is just M365, because it's really not. Modern workplace is exactly as it sounds. It's the solution that Microsoft is bringing to market around the new way that we're working. And I suppose, you know, while we're talking about, you know, COVID-19 and everything that everyone is facing around the world, we're starting to work remotely. And so what is that solution? What is the way that we need to support our end users around that modern workplace? So obviously it's we need to look at their security. We need to look at, make sure they've got, you know, email and Teams and all those things that they need. But what else do they need? Do they need things around Dynamics, and do they need things around Azure? It's really looking at the fact that under this whole digital transformation concept, we're working differently. And if we're working differently, we need to be able to support our end users differently.
I think part of it is that we need a modern platform, as you mentioned, to take full advantage of a lot of these cloud-based services, the ability to work anywhere, as you've mentioned, because we've come from an environment where people have been on-prem for so long, they've got servers, they've extended and extended and extended. And again, given the current situation where people are, you know, have to work from home almost all of a sudden, this modern workplace, this concept makes sense. But as you say, it's a much broader spectrum than, again, just a new PC or just, you know, Microsoft 365. Now, obviously, you spend a lot of time with resellers out there. They are the ones that are interfacing with the clients directly. So you're not selling to clients directly or going through typically an MSP client. How are you finding, you know, their approach to going out and talking to their customers about the modern desktop? Are they armed, and are they educated, and are they up to speed enough to sell this confidently, do you think, in the market?
I think we have three buckets, which is frustrating at its best. We have that bucket of people that have sold on-prem most of their life and are trying to move into this new way by still selling the way they sold on-prem. Then we have that group of guys that are very transactional and really just say, you know, I'm going to sell you an Office 365 license or an M365 license, and then I'm going to look at something else. And then you get that smaller group that I think is starting to really get the right skills and the right weapons in their target bag, and they're going out to market and actually doing this well. But I would say, Rob, that probably out of the partners that I deal with in Australia, a very small percentage would be in that they're well prepared and ready to take on the discussion and talk about it. It's really is a small group.
I think one of the interesting things we're going to see, amongst many interesting things in the near future, is that, especially in Australia here, we are going to, we've already experienced a dollar shock. So our dollar's fallen quite dramatically against the US dollar. I think we're going to see a lot of those transactional prices increase because of the weakness of our dollar. That's going to be very hard for those transactional people to go back to customers and basically say, well, we have to increase the prices because of these sort of things, especially given the environment that those customers are also in as well, I think. Now, those people that do have the skills, is there a common thing in there? Is there a common trait? Are they a certain size, or do they sell to a certain demographic? Is it random, or is there sort of key attributes you could pull out and share with us that you find with these people who are, you know, basically getting around the modern desktop experience?
I think you get that group of people that fall into that, you know, if you do what you've always done, you get what you always got. And, you know, I'm comfortable in my business and I'm comfortable with where this is traveling, and I'm just going to go down this road. I don't think there's a type of partner that actually gets it, I think, or a size for that matter. I think what it is that there are a group of partners that are looking at what is happening in the marketplace, and they are saying what we've done isn't going to work in the future, and we need to transition quickly. And it's those very small group of partners that actually decide to put their hand up and invest in their time and invest in what is happening in the market and are willing to look at taking that to market. And there's not even an age group, you know, because I've got partners who are in their 20s and mid 30s who are doing it, and then I've got partners in their 60s who are saying I need to change and I need to move and adapt to where we're heading. So I don't think there is that. I think the partners that take the time to listen, that take the time to take on board of what they're learning about, I think they're the ones that are really starting to adapt.
It is interesting. I think that you're right. I don't see a particularly common trait that you can tie it down to. I think it's an awakening moment, a transformation moment where it just clicks in and then they get it and they see the change that needs to be made or the direction they need to take. And again, I think the other thing is they appreciate they can't do this immediately overnight. They need to prioritize it. They need to make that investment. So where do you see that these customers, the good resellers, where are they making these investments? Where do you think are the key things? I mean, obviously, is it things like education? They're doing more courses, or are they creating marketing material? You know, where are they making those investments that differ from the way they would have been doing it on-prem in your experience?
I think education is a massive part. There needs to be that commitment to actually invest into some education, take some time out of the office or working with their clients to actually invest in themselves, to learn about those products, to actually learn what they need to do and how they need to do it. But I think it's a combination. And you've talked about marketing, and you know, and I think one of the things that we do with some of our partners is we actually take them on a journey of how do we productize this solution? How do we put a solution to market that is actually going to meet the requirements of this modern day management? And there's probably only 10% of my partners that are willing to take that time out and do it, invest the time. And for some of them, it may be an investment of 6 months of actually workshopping this, actually coming up with the ideas, coming up with the margins, looking at what segments they want to be in, what new segments do they want to be in, how can they take this product to market, how can they make sure that it's hitting the right balance of where they need to be. And that process is quite phenomenal. Now, just for an example, Robert, I've got one partner, and we work with them over a 6 month period. When we first started working with them, they'd sold 3 tenants. I think they had about 30 seats under management. We went through this process. We came with not just one productized solution, but they actually had 3 levels of support that what they were able to offer into their existing customer base. And over the following 3 months, they went from transacting about $150 a month to $19,000 a month Australian. Just by actually coming to that point where they go, we're going to invest, this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to move forward, and we're going to start offering something modern to our existing base.
So that would seem to indicate that obviously the customer base, the end users, are obviously ripe, they're keen, they're obviously looking for these sort of solutions, or they're at least are open to these. And I think that's one of the fallacies many resellers fall into. They think, well, my customer will never ask for this. They make assumptions that the customer isn't going to need this, or the customer isn't going to want this. And then again, the customer doesn't know what they don't know. And I think part of it is presenting this wider arrangement of services and wider things that you can do with tools like Azure CRM, all the stuff you've mentioned. So, I mean, is that, again, a key thing is embracing that change, embracing these options, and then taking that messaging out to customers who are probably, I would suggest, going to be much more receptive than many resellers think.
I think that I think sometimes resellers don't take the time to actually show the true value of a product. They get excited about getting that sale, and they can see the buying signs, and they can see that the customer wants to go ahead, and they drop short on where they're heading. I had a my first sales manager that I ever had used to always say over and over again to me, doesn't matter whether you're buying or selling, someone's buying and someone's selling. And I think sometimes we just don't take the time to actually give the customer all the information about this product. What can it actually do? How can it actually help protect them? How can it actually help improve their productivity? It's over the last week, we've been working remotely now for the last week with COVID-19 in Australia. And the amount of calls that I've got from partners who've rung me up and said, we've talked about 365 and we've talked about Teams and we've talked about this. I've got customers I need to do now and I don't know what to do. It's becoming a very topical situation, and it really is that time to invest in these products.
I think also too, part of the failure I see, and we've seen this in a lot of workshops we've run together, is the technical people are very good at technical things. They can, you know, generally set bids and bobs and tick things and understand what these things are. But where I found a significant skill deficit has been around converting the technical to something that a customer can understand. So a good example is things like, what's the benefit of Office 365 ATP to an end user, not in technical terms, but in terms that they can understand and it makes sense for their business. I think that's where a lot of people, again, they'll look at all the speeds and the feeds and they'll take it on and maybe don't go deep enough, but they don't invest in that analysis and look at it and then translate that into something of customer needs. And something like DLP, data loss prevention, is another really good example where it would speak to, I would think, the majority of customers in this day and age, with all the legislation we have about protecting data and converting that into customer speak. I mean, would you say that, again, that is a key success feature? Are these resellers who are successful are able to take what is a largely very technical product which has a lot of features and translate that into real value, real meaning for a customer that they can see inside their business?
You know, no one wants to feel stupid and no one wants to ask what might be considered silly questions. And I think you've hit the nail on the head. You know, if you can take a product like M365 and, excuse the expression, but dumb it down to everyday language, I think that's a real key. And you and I, we've done a lot of workshops together and we talk about Delve, you know, and we talk about Azure. And we've given that, you know, Azure has been, you know, my on-demand data center. That makes sense to me. That's a simple concept for me to understand. So I absolutely think that if you can do that, you're really going to not only just get that concept across quickly, but then people are going to start to realize how else they can use this. And I think that's a real key part. And it doesn't really matter. You know, you and I have talked about, you know, my wife and you know, her understanding of lots of concepts, and she has a PhD in molecular biology, but sometimes I need to put things about, when we talk about Teams or M365 or Office 365, into concepts that she can understand in everyday life, and it makes it so much easier.
I think you're right. I think that a lot of resellers get lost in, you know, their own technology, in their own products, in their own day-to-day, and I think it takes the skilled person to step back and again simplify it for people to understand, and that is a real skill. That is again not something to be minimized. Now, I think given the current global situation with the COVID-19 situation, that has never been more the fore. You've now got, you know, customers who know they have to work from home, but what does that mean? What do I have to get? What's involved and how quickly can I get it? And those skill sets. And I think we can do this if you have the education, if you have the skill ready to roll out, ready to go. But I think this, again, is going to be one of these seminal moments where I like to call 2020, which I did at the beginning of the year, the epoch year for so many reasons, and I'm proving to be unfortunately very correct. But it's this point in time we are now is going to create this complete delineation and move so much stuff to working remotely and using these sort of products like Teams, like Stream, Microsoft 365 working remotely as well. And I think that unfortunately a large percentage of the base, the partner base, has probably been tinkering around at the edges. They really haven't, you know, got the gloves on and gone in deep to really understand it and bring it into their business. They've just seen it, as you've mentioned, as a transactional way to generate a few additional revenue items here and there. So again, I think this is such a key item. And I suppose that you can look at every threat as an opportunity and say, well, this is a huge opportunity to go to market and to offer this service and potentially gazump others who aren't moving fast enough, who aren't moving quick enough for customers. So, you know, what's the demand that's coming into you that you're hearing from partners? Are you getting a lot more calls now with partners saying, you know what, we really need to do this stuff and we need to make it happen tomorrow. Can you help us? Is that the sort of thing that we're hearing?
Absolutely. We're hearing two things. One thing is I'm hearing from partners are calling me and saying, you know, I've got businesses laying people off. I've got businesses who are just folding up and closing because they can't operate. And then we've got those businesses who are partners are coming to me and saying, I need to do this now. I've got businesses I need to set up from home and I don't know what to do. What do I do? And I honestly believe that we've got two things happening. The first thing we've got happening is we've got that response that we need to act on urgently and help partners get their customers up and running. But I think the second thing is I think the modern workspace in Australia is changing, and I think it's changing, dare I say it, for good. I think we're going to see in the future a lot more remote working, and this is that pivotal moment in time that we're seeing that change happen before our eyes.
Well, I think you would agree that what we see is generally been a hesitancy. A lot of people are very conservative with their approach to technology. I want to keep my file explorer. I want my files on my local drive. I want everything the way it was. I want, you know, Word 2003 instead of, you know, 2016 or whatever. But when you're given a situation that we're currently in where you have to change, you have not got an option here, we have to change, then I think it does force people to make that change, opens their eyes. And like you said, I think that this is going to cause a massive shift and people are really going to realize that, hang on, you know, this wouldn't have been possible before, or we couldn't have done this, or we hadn't been forced to change, this would have, and now I've got more flexibility and look what we can do and da 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 da. So I think you're 100% right in the way the approach people are going to look at this when they step back and review it. And we are very lucky that a lot of businesses are able to do that and to obviously keep going. But I think, again, this is where this the IT provider is that key cog. I mean, they talk about essential services, medical people. Yes, absolutely. Fireys, ambulance drivers, fantastic. But again, the IT has become such an important layer in the infrastructure of every business in every country these days that there's that opportunity. But you have to make sure that you are current with the technologies and you're able to provide that. And this certainly is going to drive that demand. And we're seeing that worldwide, not just in Australia. So again, it's really going to make this difference, as you say. Now, because this is happening, and let's say that we take a typical partner who has been a little bit tinkering around the edges and may not be sure, what sort of advice or what sort of support can your organization, yourself, provide for these sort of people? Are you giving them any guidance? Are they, you know, how can they, when they come to you for help, what can you do for them?
It's interesting. I actually spent the weekend putting together a resource library around Office 365, M365, Teams, security, a whole range of things to make it available for my team to start sharing with partners. Each partner is different. Each partner has customers that are different, but each partner is looking at how do they really allow their customers to be able to work remotely and to work in a different environment. So it's really important that you know, a partner is able to go to their distributor and actually say, I need help, and and this is what I need to do, and I need to understand how to do. And I've been on conference calls today with partners and their own customers, taking them through that process. So what we've really tried to do at Dicker Data is we really focus in on how can we as a distributor provide the support structure around the partner and around their end user. So you know, we've done things like taking our after hour support to a 24/7 support to be able to support the partner. So it's really about I suppose a bit of a knowledge transfer, helping you with your customer, and at the same time transferring that knowledge to you as to what you can do in the future.
So I think the one of the things I would suggest here, and I think it's great that you're providing that, and I think this is one of these sort of characteristic traits we see of many IT providers. They tend to look at the environment as a lone gun. Yes, they have peers. Yes, they have distributors, but they very much take it all upon themselves. They're not really into asking for help or reaching out until it's desperate, until it's too late, until it's, you know, again, the fact that we're all basically beyond the point where it really makes a difference. I think the secret would be is that you need to reach out early. You need to be doing this as soon as possible and coming out with a plan and moving forward for today, tomorrow, 6 months, a year, because that time frame is going to be different. But again, would you be encouraging people to say, look, yes, okay, we need to make a plan. We need to reach out early. If we need help, let's put up our hands and ask for it, rather than trying to batten down the hatches and hopefully ride it out until, you know, we get to the other side where everything will be the same. Is that a fair statement that, you know, from your point of view?
Absolutely. And look, my philosophy around this actually comes from my grandfather. And my grandfather used to tell a story about a boy that would walk down to the wharf and he saw four silver pieces on the ground. And he picked them up. And as he's walking down the jetty, he saw six gold coins at the bottom of the water. And there was an old man there, and he said, I'll hold your silver coins for you while you dive down and get the gold. And he said, no, that's fine, I can do it. And he put his hand in his pocket where he had the silver coins, dived into the water, but couldn't pick up the gold coins because he had to move something at the bottom of the ocean, and ended up losing both lots of coins. So I think, you know, the thing is that Dicker Data, we see ourselves as an extension of your business, and we want to support you on that and work with you and be part of your team rolling that out. And I think, you know, that's a really key part of what we're seeing today in our ecosystem around the Microsoft play.
But also, would it be fair to say that, you know, somebody can't come to you and in absolute desperation and want it all their own way? Obviously, there has to be some alignment between, you know, what is the direction, what can be provided in this new modern environment, not, you know, selling more servers, not doing that sort of thing. So there does have to be a transformation by the partner if they are looking to get this sort of support.
Absolutely. And that's, I suppose, that's the key part of transformation, isn't it? That you transform first so that you can help others to transform.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think that is really part of it, is the world has changed and is changing more so every day, but it is very different from even the last round of workshops that we did a couple of weeks ago. And we sort of brought this up and we tried to make people aware that we could end up in the situation that we are in at the moment. But again, it has changed so dramatically, even a couple of weeks, and it's going to change dramatically even more so going forward. So let's just, again, pause on the situation now. And when it all comes down, when we get back to inverted commas, you know, normal, and you can have a drink and you go to the beach and all the stuff we can't do at the moment, you know, what do you see is going to come out the other side of this? I would suspect that there's going to be a lot of partners who probably aren't going to make the cut or aren't going to survive necessarily because, A, they're not getting revenue from customers who may have, again, they may have failed as well, but they haven't transformed, aren't ready to move in this environment. I mean, what do you see as the result once the bushfire has cleaned out all the, you know, the dead wood there? What do you see on the other side of all this, Tim?
A very different ecosystem to what we see today. I think we're going to see partners that have being forced to transform themselves and are transforming their customers. I see a very different working environment to what we see today. And I think it's the scary part a little bit is that little bit of unknown of what's not out there at the moment.
I think probably the biggest unknown for most people is simply the duration. Are we looking at, you know, a month, 2 months, 6 months, 12 months? You know, again, based on history, it could roll out to be quite an extensive period of time. So I think that's the biggest uncertainty, and that's what everybody's trying to deal with. But again, I would suggest on the other side, there are things that can be done. There are positives to focus on. We have to let, obviously, the government do what it needs to do and following their requirements of us. But there are certainly things that we could do proactively to make sure that we can take advantage of getting through this, but also getting advantage on the other side of this. So what would you suggest are the top couple of things that, you know, partners should be doing on their own to really put themselves in the best position to benefit from this and to, you know, survive the current situation we're experiencing?
I think they need to reach out to the distributor to see what support is available, or to Microsoft. I know that Microsoft's looking at the different ways that they can help support partners at the moment. I think the second thing is that they need to be looking at some guides, some sort of information that helps them about what they can provide into their customer base, and actually looking at things like M365 as a whole. But I think they need to focus on their customer, and they really need to focus in on their customer's need.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think obviously the need at the moment is we need to get people working remotely, but that will then evolve into we need to collaborate together, we need to share files, we need to have meetings together, we need to do presentations, we need to work with third parties, we need to get them on our meetings as well. How do we optimize that? How do we get the most from that? So there is a big opportunity there for an ongoing relationship with the customer. I also think too that this is a point in time to obviously stand up, show leadership, and let people know that yes, you know, you have a strategy, you have a product, you can deliver it, you can give people surety in these times. I think that's going to go a long way too. I think a lot of people are looking to providers who have a definite strategy, who can provide in these times, given the limitations, given the challenges that are around there. I think they're the things that a lot of people are looking for, that certainty when everything else is becoming largely uncertain. And that, again, requires a bit of discipline internally and a bit of work. From my point of view, the other thing I would suggest on top of everything is obviously reaching out for help, but look at this as an opportunity also for education. Again, there is lots and lots of YouTube videos from Microsoft Ignite, from the teams around Azure, from the teams around Microsoft Defender ATP. There is so much learning in there that can be done that, again, you hear the cry, I don't have enough time. Well, probably now you do have enough time to look at this so that on the other side you are experienced with these products, especially if you haven't dedicated that time as such. So I think that part of that is allocating time for everybody in the business to make sure that they are across these information. And I think Tim would agree with me that probably one of the best videos you can go and look at is the Teams video with Dr. Kelman from the University of New South Wales. It was in last year's Inspire on how he integrates his learning using Teams and all the services into an environment of 500 plus students. I think that's a magnificent video and very inspirational. Yeah. And I'll make sure the link is in there in the show notes. And I believe that you'll have him on a webinar shortly.
Yes, in a couple of weeks. We'll have you on a webinar, which is going to be fantastic. I've actually got also Jahan Seek from who's the Microsoft Teams lead here in Australia with Microsoft. We'll be on that same. We'll be on a webinar as well. So we're changing the webinars up a little bit just to I suppose respond to the climate that we're seeing today to try and get some really good information out to our partners.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'll make sure that I do get those links from Tim and we can put those up for people who are interested in those. And I would highly recommend those as a source of education as well. I think Dick provides fantastic support for their partners and would encourage you to get in contact with Tim. And with that said, how can people get in contact with you and also with Digger Data?
Sure. So via email is a very easy way. So I'm sure, Rob, that you could.
Yep, I'll make sure that I pop it in there because you have a funny surname with an O apostrophe sometimes and a O not apostrophe sometimes. So I'll make sure email address is in there and that people can refer to that. Any other resources you'd like to point them towards?
Look, I'm going to send you a link, Rob, for you to sure. share. This link, it's 6 videos around Teams. Was released by Microsoft on Friday in response to what we're seeing here in Australia right now. So this will give your listeners something concrete they can actually go and have a listen to and hopefully help them along. And obviously, you know, if they want to get in touch, I'm more than happy to help them out as well.
Excellent. Well, I'll make sure all those details and links are in the show notes for this episode. I'll work to get this out as quickly as possible to get the benefits out there for people. Take the opportunity to thank Tim for his time, his insight, and remember, don't be afraid to contact him directly to ask for any support. Again, it is challenging times. We are certainly in at the moment and encourage that. You can also contact me as well for any other specific questions. I'm happy to help people there as well. So once again, I will thank Tim for his time on the Need to Know podcast, and I will wrap up this episode. Until next time, thanks everybody for listening.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Microsoft 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selections available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.